This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Well, good morning, America. This is Gun Owners News Hour. Well, we've had another horrific rampage killing. Happened in Boulder, Colorado on Monday, which happened on the heels of a series of shootings in Atlanta at massage parlors. Now, as being a Second Amendment advocate means I'm for people being able to defend themselves. I'm against all forms of violence. And the fact that I'm against it, I have no agenda in this to take anybody's rights. I think that we should be doing things focused on criminals, not on tools. But, unfortunately, I'm not on the left, and the left is out to cook up the narrative. Now, unfortunately, neither one of these shootings actually fit their narrative. But right now, the left's narrative, right now at this moment, is that Joe Biden is acting with a sense of uncharacteristic sort of urgency, because he's normally this kind of sleepy, slow-pokey, bumbling type of guy. But he's like, oh, I'm going to take rapid action. Action on what? Action on guns. He said, and urge my colleagues in the House and Senate to act. We can ban assault weapons and high-capacity magazines. So once again, it was the gun that did it. The gun did it. Now, it's kind of funny because when you see these horrific killings, and we've seen, unfortunately, too many of them, and it's not always the weapon that was blamed. During 9/11, there were 3,000 people killed. Did you see anybody go, let's outlaw box cutters, let's outlaw airplanes? Because after all, the deadly weapon at 9/11 was, in fact, the airplane itself. Now, people will say, Bill, we did try to restrict box cutters on planes, but the main screening after 9/11 was really simple. Let's prevent fanatics and psychos from having access to airplanes. So the logical consequence here, or the logical implication here, is in the aftermath of Atlanta and the aftermath of Boulder, is let's prevent dangerous fanatics and psychotics from being able to get their hands on deadly weapons. Let's put those procedures in place, but not prevent law-abiding people from gaining access to guns any more than law-abiding people should be prevented from buying a box cutter or boarding an airplane. If you want to look at a comparison, and I mean, I've always said that this whole coronavirus thing was, it was all a behavioral sort of experiment to see how far we could go. Right now, what we have effectively done is we locked down the country for more than a year now, for the most part, and most people in it are healthy. But we're doing it, supposedly, to protect those who are not, except those who are not, can go about their lives, and we can keep them safe, while at the same time everybody else should be able to go about their life unmasked, you know. And this is the way gun control works. Gun control is never about going after the criminal, it's about going after the law-abiding. So we're going to it's the same template. Now the reason the left is talking about the gun is that they really can't talk about the shooter or the motive for the shooting because it completely ruins their narrative. So here's the narrative: whenever a Muslim guy is involved in a shooting, the left knows only two words to say. One is white supremacy, and the other is Islamophobia. Now, never mind that if you just want to play the simple game, we can just say, well, let's see. President Biden has bombed Syria, and this guy is Syrian. We know he doesn't like, Trump. He had a Facebook page before they took it down. But, so it's got to be white supremacy that did it, and it's got to be Islamophobia that's the problem. But in this case, we have a problem. Because the shooter was Muslim, and seemingly, to a certain degree, a radical Muslim. And and I'm going to go into that. And the victims, all 10 of them were white. Let's think about that just for a minute. In the Atlanta shooting, 6 of the 8 victims were Asian American. The immediate implication was hate crime. This is a hate crime against Asian Americans, even though the shooter in that case, a white guy, said, "I'm a sex addict. I hate these massage parlors. I'm out to get rid of them." And so his motive appeared to be some kind of psychotic response to a sex addiction. Nothing to do with race, and not all the victims were Asian American. But in this case, in Boulder, all the victims are white, and yet no mention of any animus towards white people that might have motivated this attack, and suddenly the hate crime language has completely disappeared. But let's turn to the shooter himself. Remember, when the police came out there, they tried to homogenize his name. Right? They called him Ahmad Alisa. When his name is Ahmad Al-Aliwi Alisa. Interestingly, that compression caught my eye. I don't know why. The wording was, the suspect was taken into custody at 3:28 p.m. He was transported to the hospital for treatment, now in stable condition. The suspect has been identified as Ahmad Alisa, 21, of Arvada. And, you know, spokesperson was a female. And I'm not saying this is a woman who's trying to put out a false narrative, not at all. But it's a natural trepidation because they're the police. This is the kind of trepidation you see when a woman who is raped is scared to say the guy who did it is black. Or in this case, this guy has a Muslim name. Remember, the police are under, they're constantly being spotlighted. So here you got a head cop in the wake of a mass shooting, and what she's scared about is what they're going to say about her. So she's an Islamophobe, and sure enough, almost comically, there are efforts to blame this on Islamophobia. Then you get this little snippet from a CNN article that says this, this is the brother of Ahmad Al-Aliwi, Alisa, told CNN that in high school, bullies made fun of Alisa's name and for being a Muslim, and this may have contributed to him becoming antisocial. So, this is the supposed motive. Islamophobia made him sort of antisocial. Now, omitted from the CNN article are all these other telling facts, like this guy's a radical Muslim. And from his Facebook, seemingly we don't want to draw attention to, but these things are revealing because on his Facebook, which is now gone, you see, A, he absolutely hates Trump. In fact, he calls Trump a racist. He rails against Islamophobia. This is a mass shooter railing against Islamophobia. What exactly is Islamophobia? Is Islamophobia the belief that somewhere in our society there's some Muslim fanatics and crazies around who are capable of killing large numbers of innocent people? Hello. Far from refuting Islamophobia, this guy is vindicating it because he's proving that this suspicion that you've got these crazies among us who are motivated by Islam is correct. And this is a guy who's also from Syria. He's a Syrian immigrant. He's been involved in the Syrian situation. He blames Trump. He blames Putin. He blames Assad. He's on the radical Muslim side of the Syrian civil war. All this omitted from not only the CNN article, but much of the media coverage, because they don't want to talk about the shooter's motives. He was not a Trump guy, he was an anti-Trump guy. It turns out the shooter liked to read certain sites that he was constantly quoting. Guess what they are? The Intercept, the left-wing political site, the Washington Post, NPR. So he's getting his information from the political left in America, and that information evidently is having a radicalizing effect on him. And bottom line, this is a very telling rampage killing because it doesn't fit the narrative for this reason. One possibility is the left will just try to stop talking about it. And the second possibility, perhaps more likely, is they don't want to talk about who did it. They want to talk about motive. Had it been a white guy, it would be automatically assumed that it was white supremacy. The white supremacist white man did it. But, if you were to look at the early write-ups about this and the early tweets that were coming out before anybody knew anything, they just saw the video of the guy being walked out to the car. In his shorts. Everybody was out there saying another white man using his Second Amendment rights with an AR-15 because he's having a bad day. I so love this whole idea of the tolerant left. We'll be right back. This is Gun Owners News Hour.
everybody. If you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with the high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
At Chambers Custom, we have one job. We strive to build the most obsessively reliable, accurate, and beautiful pistols for the discriminating gun owner. Fusing the ageless 1911 design with a 21st century approach to each part and component, Chambers Custom meticulously begins each pistol as a standalone project, creating a bespoke, handcrafted, peerless firearm. They integrate all of the internal, external, and intrinsic elements that make a custom 1911 unique. Go to ChambersCustom.com. Chambers Custom, truly the mechanical advantage. At Spikes Tactical, we are all shooters with a very simple mission. Make the best product we can perfect at the best possible price for our consumers. We strive to produce the best components and rifles available, with quality control second to none, because real-world events don't allow for a second chance. Whether you are an operator, competitor, or home defender, Spikes Tactical will serve you well. Go to SpikesTactical.com. Spikes Tactical, 100% American-made to the highest standard.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
Anyone can fall victim to moving fraud. Know your rights and responsibilities.
There was never really a valid contract.
Movers must always give written estimates.
I was bound to an estimate, but it was after the fact.
Be sure that any document is complete before signing it, and that it includes information to determine the final charges.
It was a version that I had not seen before.
Visit protectyourmove.gov to download a free moving fraud prevention guide. Search for registered movers and view their complaint histories. Move with confidence.
And welcome back. This is Gun Owners News Hour. Excuse me. Sorry for the rough throat. I have a Radford pear tree in the front yard. You know, as I was talking earlier, the narrative is being torched left and right. There were so many death blows dealt against the leftist tropes that were out there that were being voluntarily rescinded and then deleted as they were going on. The assumption was that what happened in Boulder, Colorado was done by a white guy. Then they found out he had an AR-15 type rifle, which had actually turned out to be an AR-15 type pistol. All your typical knee-jerk reactions. But then their faces, they face planted in the asphalt when it was revealed that he was 21-year-old Ahmad al-Aiza, a Syrian refugee. Sorry, people. You know, I know that in the age of like a Zimmerman being a white Hispanic, this is not a white Arab. And the scores of leftists on social media flocked to delete their tweets. These people assumed, and they got eats and crow for it. And that's what idiots do. They jump to conclusions, and then they try to delete it and act like nothing happened. Now, Facebook has deleted Ahmad's account per its protocol regarding suspected mass shooters. But before it went away, a few people took a good look at it, and it was very clear that he was no fan of Trump. Now, we get this from the Daily Caller. Facebook deleted accounts belonging to suspected Boulder, Colorado shooter Ahmad al-Aliwi Alisa on Tuesday in line of its longstanding policy on suspected rampage killers, a Facebook spokesperson told the Daily Caller News Foundation. A Facebook account belonging to Alisa, 21, contained posts discussing Islam, his apparent failure to obtain a girlfriend, kickboxing, and criticisms of former President Donald Trump. The DCNF did not identify any content on the Facebook page that suggested a motive for the shooting during a review of the account prior to its removal. He also criticized Trump on his Facebook page, according to Heavy, which I don't know what that is. The suspected shooter shared a Washington Post article about Trump's approach to refugees, commenting that Trump's such a, and we can't say that on radio. Alisa suggested Trump won his election in 2016 because of racism in a September 18, 2020 Facebook post. I mean, when you see one part of the whole narrative, the whole leftist narrative, when it collapses, it's sort of like those delayed reaction explosions you see when they're taking down a building. Eventually, the whole thing falls in on itself and, you know, lands in the sea. If anything, this guy sounds pretty woke, which is the absolute seat of irony. And listen, from time to time, I have been known to take a stab at the dark, in the dark, whatever. And it boils down to, you know, if you're going to do that, then you need to be looking at other factors coming into this, if you want to look at a topic and say, I think this is what's going to happen. Back in back during Obama's reign, I said that the U.S. military put out a requisition for 540 some odd thousand magazines for an AK-47 and for ammunition for said weapon, which is 7.60 by 39. One glaring thing about this is that nobody fields that weapon. You would be using this to give to somebody, to give them a weapon. And the AK-47 is sort of like, it's not going to quit running no matter what the conditions are, especially desert conditions. Obama had said he wanted to arm the Syrians. Now, we have a CIA place out somewhere in Texas called the West Coast Depot. And it had been said that there was a lot of weapons out there to give to various factions at the West Coast Depot. So when that was put out there, I said publicly on World Net Daily, hey, this is or on Radio America, I can't remember which it was. I said publicly that he's going to arm the Syrians. And then Benghazi happened. Now, between the time when I said that and Benghazi happened, everybody was like, how do you know that? I was like, I'm just making a guess. Everybody was like, you know, oh, sure, all right. And then when it actually happened, they were coming back to me going, how'd you know? So it was like I was Nostradamus. In this particular case, though, the left with their narrative, that you know, it was white guys, it's AR-15s. It was all that, actually. And it was just a big, big implosion. For the left, which is primarily Caucasian, nowadays, most of them are college educated, and there's a lot of white women involved in it, too. For the left, white people, white men are violent, and they commit rampage killings, and we're all Trump supporters, except for the ones on the woke left. Now, Ahmad was not white, and he hated Trump. Like the rest of the left, he thought Trump won in 2016 due to racism. which in and of itself, I mean, Trump at the time, he was an actor. He had a TV show. He was a real estate developer. He was a billionaire. He was one of these larger than life, figures that everybody liked. Everybody wanted to be like him. You know, Trump Tower was used as a reference. If you ever showed New York in a montage on a movie, Trump Tower had to be in it. Then he comes down, and all of a sudden he's a racist. Even though Jim Brown likes him, even though Mike Tyson likes him, even though Ice Cube likes him, he's a racist. Yeah. I wonder if any of that will be reported, by the way, that this Elisa is a leftist. Probably not, though Ahmad isn't the first shooter to blow up the leftist narrative on mass shooters. In 2019, Connor Betts, a self-avowed leftist and Antifa supporter, shot and killed 9 people in Dayton, Ohio. Then there's a guy in Alexandria who tried to kill the Republican Party while they were practicing softball, who was a birdie bro. Also white, by the way. The thing about the left is they're always projecting. So when they're out there saying, well, he must be white, that's because most of these violent guys in the left are on the left. NBC News tried to rehash the tired narrative that mass shootings are a crisis in this country due to their frequency, when in fact they're not very common at all. And NBC, they really stepped on this one. In the wake of the Boulder shooting, they said there's been more than 100 such incidents that have occurred over the past 20 years. But in 2017, they said that there was 307 of these in 2018, alone, in that year alone. Which is it? Somebody's lying, and that's just a typical day in mainstream media. So they got punched in the mouth regarding the shooter's race, his political views, and once again, the frequency of mass shootings in America. 3 strikes in less than 3 days, which is brutal, but it's what happens. When one of these events occurs, we should wait. I always wait now. I didn't wait on Aurora. That was a big mistake. We should wait until we have more information than we currently get. And until we figure this out, until the news figures this out, they're always going to make mistakes because they're just taking stabs in the dark. And it's literally like they're monkeys throwing feces against the wall, like they're news, weatherman trying to see what sticks. I meant what I said. We'll be right back. This is Gun Owners News Hour.
Years, Arrow Precision has paved the way as a leading manufacturer of American-made AR parts. Arrow Precision caters to the rifle builder by engineering quality receivers, handguards, and other essential parts. Arrow Precision's added enhancements create a smooth build process from start to finish for beginners and seasoned builders. Whether this is your first rifle or your 50th, Arrow Precision offers everything you need to make a quality AR at an affordable price.
Brinklin Armory makes top-quality AR-style firearms for sports, military, and law enforcement. 100% made-in-America parts and materials. We manufacture revolutionary three-position binary triggers that can be selected to fire on the pull and release, or set to fire normally. We strongly support and uphold our Second Amendment. We hope you do, too. Get a 10% discount when you mention the code word LOCK AND LOAD at franklinarmory.com.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
The Major League Baseball Players Association is now encouraging the league to move this year's All-Star Game from Atlanta now that a new law restricts voting access in Georgia. President Biden said the new law is an atrocity. He was asked if his administration would challenge Georgia's new restrictive law in court.
We're working on that right now. We don't know quite exactly what we can do at this point.
8 years ago, the Supreme Court practically killed the federal law that said states with a racial voting discrimination history must get permission to enact new voting laws. The Biden administration would now have to find another way to challenge the new restrictions in Georgia. The governor of Georgia, Brian Kemp, said it's obvious that neither the president nor his handlers have even read the bill. This is USA Radio News. Lawmakers on Capitol Hill say a thorough investigation will take place as they continue looking into the January 6th riot at the U.S. Capitol. The chairs of seven House committees sent letters to 16 federal government agencies requesting documents related to communications between December 1, 2020 and January 20, 2021. The news comes as House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says she's unable to set up a bipartisan 9/11-style commission to investigate the riot.
I'm persistent in terms of we get to the truth.
Republicans are demanding that left-wing violence be investigated by such a commission. Speaker Pelosi has named the commanding general of the AC National Guard, Major General William Walker, to serve as the House Sergeant-at-Arms. If confirmed, Walker would leave House security measures as Congress continues to deal with the aftermath of the riot. You're listening to USA Radio News.
What if people always acted the same way they do when they're driving their cars?
Good morning, Mrs. Blanchard. How may I help you?
I'd like to cash this check.
Sure.
I'll just get my pen
Come
here.
Come on, lady. Get a move on.
Goodness.
Where'd you learn to bank anyway?
Ooh.
Whoa. Don't you give me that look.
It sure wouldn't be a very friendly place.
What kind of candy do you want, sweetie?
This. No, this.
Pick something already. Come on, honey. We're holding people up. How about this kind?
No.
What is the matter with you people? If you're not going to do something, I am. Get out of my way.
Every day, drivers and their families all across the country are killed on the roadways because of road rage.
Wasn't it a beautiful wedding?
Oh, yes, and they made such a lovely couple.
Excuse me, is this the receiving line?
Yes, it is.
Hey, he cut in line.
I'm a friend of the bride. Do you know the
group? Hey, pal, you cut in line.
Buzz off.
Oh, yeah?
Hey, hit that nice man.
That'll teach you to cut in line, you jerk.
Stop the senselessness of road rage. It's time we all drive with the same courtesy we extend to people in the rest of our lives. A message from the AAA Foundation for Traffic Safety.
This is Gun Owners News Hour. Vice President Kamala Harris, who's been, they've been parading her around here lately, said no one is trying to come after your guns as President Joe Biden and congressional Democrats prepare to do just exactly that. She said, stop pushing the false choice that this means everybody's trying to come after your guns. This is not what we're talking about. She said that on CBS this morning. This comes after Biden and his allies in Congress are calling for a federal ban on blank assault, you know, assault weapons, high-capacity magazines, same blank filled in the same way every time, restricting gun access for even law-abiding citizens after multiple deadly shootings in the last 2 weeks. After the rampage killing in Boulder, he came out, Bolton, Biden did. We can ban assault weapons and high-capacity magazines in this country once again. I got that done when I was a senator. Delusions of grandeur, that guy. It passed. It was a law for the longest time. And it brought down these mass killings, and we should do it again. Which, by the way, that's false. That is absolutely false, what he said. It did not bring them down. He also urged legislators to pass bills expanding a background check system for firearm sales, a change that some senators on the left side of the aisle think could garner enough Republican support to bypass the filibuster, which multiple members are trying to abolish, which I wouldn't. Don't get too much in a tizzy about them trying to do that. Democratic Senator Chris Murphy of Connecticut, who... There's just something about this guy I just don't like. I just don't like it. He said, I think a universal background check bill can get 60 votes. We're going to sit down with Democratic leadership this week and talk about the path forward. I think we've got 2 weeks of recess in which I think there will be a lot of conversations across the aisle about the path forward on background checks. While GOP members such as Senate Minority Leader McConnell have said they are open to discussion, even the moderate Republican senators like Susan Collins of Maine view the Democrats' current legislative proposals as very, very broad and unlikely to pass the upper chamber. Which, by the way, there's a growing number of Democratic senators that are not interested For those of you concerned about the filibuster, they're not interested in getting rid of the filibuster themselves. Now, Biden and Harris previously sparred over gun control measures during a primary debate in 2019 after Biden rejected Harris's bid to use executive power to ban imports of AR-15s, as well as potentially implement universal background checks, ban semi-automatic rifles, repeal the NRA's corporate gun manufacturer immunity shield, which is not actually has anything to do with the NRA. It's called the PLCAA. Criminalizing gun traffic at the federal level, ban high-capacity magazines, and prohibit people convicted of a federal hate crime from buying guns. You almost want to sing "And a Partridge in a Pear Tree" when that list comes out. Now, President, then-candidate Joe, said you can't do that by executive order any more than Trump can do things when he says he can't do it by executive order. Now, Harris, Kamala Harris has a really bad... She laughs at a very inappropriate time. A really inappropriate time. And her reply to that on the debate stage was, I mean, I would just say, hey, Joe, instead of saying, no, we can't, let's say, yes, we can. Whatever you say. Whatever you say. Now, one thing that is apparent, though, as you look at all these things that are coming along, that they're trying to do, that they want to do, is it's actually quite resounding. Because the gun controllers are getting very desperate. And they're getting frustrated. Because even with the Biden-Harris administration and controlled by the Democrats of both chambers of Congress, the agenda, the gun control agenda, is still very much in doubt. Politico has noticed this, and it's coming from anti-gun organizations like Every Town for Gun Safety and the Moms Demand Action, where activists know that their window of opportunity to put these in restrictions on the right to keep and bear arms is closing. Part of the problem here was their rush to judgment in Boulder, and what they're saying, you've got the confession of the Atlanta shooter, where he says, I am a sex addict, and I did that because I don't like these things existing. This is not a hate crime, it's a mental illness in play. It's playing out in real time. Then you got the Syrian who shot a bunch of white people. We're not going to call that a hate crime, but this is going to be a, you know, he used an AR-15, so that you know what that means. Which he bought 6 days prior. The other thing that's happening right now is 2022, it's getting closer and closer. And the razor-thin Democratic majority in the House and in the Senate could disappear after 2022 midterms. And the activists for the gun reform movement, a centerpiece of their agenda for the last quarter of a century, has become, if we're not going to do it now, when are we going to do it? Shannon Watts, and I mean, some of you may not get the reference, but you should look up the Manson family and go look up Lynette Squeaky Fromm, because every time I see her, I'm thinking I should call her Squeaky. So Shannon Squeaky Watts, founder of the advocacy group Moms Demand Action, she said, this is the moment. The NRA is sidelined by bankruptcy, and we have a gun-cinch trifecta in the White House, the Senate, the House. It's a pivotal moment for gun politics. The history of midterms elections suggests Democrats are at risk of losing the House next year, shrinking their window for legislative victories. So they got to do it now. Maybe they learned something during the first 2 years of the Obama administration when they went all in for Obamacare and got it and then lost the House. And then the next election, they lost the Senate. Was it? No, I don't think they lost the Senate in the next election. I think they held the Senate for two more terms or for four more years after the midterms, and then they lost the Senate in the next election. I think that's what the way that worked out. Then we get Peter Ambler, the executive director for the gun control group Giffords, The time is definitely now. We can't wait. There's a muddled message, you know. There's a muddled message coming from the anti-gun advocates. On the one hand, they say, now's the time, because they know they're likely to lose ground in the next year's elections, but they're still trying to spin their movement as it's growing in popularity across the country. In some cases, like Tom Sullivan, he's a Colorado state lawmaker. His son was killed in the Aurora shooting in 2012, and he got elected, and he thinks this means that the legislation, the climate surrounding gun legislation, shifted. But and gun control in the past has been a winning issue for Democrats in some congressional districts, nationally in the midterm elections of 2018. Sullivan said, we can run on this issue and we can win elections on this issue. Quite obviously, the tone has changed. But he's ignoring the fact that despite spending tens of millions of dollars in states like Iowa and Minnesota and Texas in an attempt to flip the state legislatures there, that actually resulted in Republican gains at the state level. So, you know, Mr. Sullivan is a little bit off here. They also are, you know, they're under a little bit of pressure to abandon the filibuster, but they don't have the votes for that either. So if they don't have the votes to get rid of the filibuster, they also don't have the votes to go through H.R. 8, H.R. 1, H.R. 1446. Now, and if they did get rid of the filibuster, then it becomes a bigger story, because I'm not worried about gun rights alone if they get rid of the filibuster. I'm worried about the Republic. I'm worried that this is going to mean that the Thomas Jefferson, sometimes the tree of liberty, needs to be watered with the blood of tyrants. I'm afraid that may come true. We'll be right back. This is Gun Owners News Hour.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
If there's a sudden disaster and you can't get to the grocery store, or they're all out of food, what would you do? You'll wish you had emergency food to get you through the crisis. And that's why we're here. We're MyPatriotSupply.com, America's leading source of emergency food. Our food lasts for up to 25 years, and millions of families trust us for their disaster survival. Won't you join us? Unlike other food companies, we don't skimp on calories. Our meals give you more than 2,000 calories per day. Why? Because that's what you need to survive any challenging crisis. And right now, you can save $200 on our popular 3-month emergency food kit. Just go to MyPatriotSupply.com and place your order. We ship fast, 2 to 3 days max, and your food arrives discreetly right to your door. So order today and save $200 at MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Amazon customer: it's amazing. I just ordered my second bottle. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after I exercise. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off of BP meds. And if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. Amazon customer: Extendivite works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. Amazon customer: excellent herbal formula. I've been using it to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
We have all seen and perhaps used the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you ever noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? With bacteria and virus problems, sanitizers and hand washing are the first line of defense against infectious disease. GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements as set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration as a first aid antiseptic. When it comes to sanitizers, it only makes sense that it lasts till the next application and doesn't dry and crack your skin, inviting infection. For long-lasting alcohol-free sanitizing, come to GCNteam.com keyword antibacterial. That's GCNteam.com antibacterial or call 877-878-4203. 877-878-4203.
Welcome back. This is Gun Owners News Hour. The shooting in Colorado is a really bad event, and Colorado has had more than their share of these kind of horrible events. And I'm not going to sit back. I'm not going to dispute the fact that when these things happen, it's an aberration against humanity. And there's going to be a debate about this. The debate's already begun. So me sitting here saying that is not exactly like I'm, you know, Nostradamus here. But since the debate is going on, there are some facts that need to be discussed, that need to be inserted into said debate. In particular, how King Soopers, the place where this man, this is not victim shaming, this is not victim blaming, okay? This is a mere statement of fact. King Soopers made an anti-gun stand back in 2019. Customers who shop at Colorado's 148 King Supers and City Market stores are being, this was an announcement they put out, are being asked to no longer openly carry firearms into the stores, echoing a move made by the retail rival Walmart a day earlier. In their announcement, Cincinnati-based Kroger, the parent company of King Supers and City Market, said its request applies to anybody who shops in its stores with the exception of law enforcement officers. Kelly McGannon, a King Super spokesperson, said, "Our number one priority is the safety of our associates and customers." Which is a stupid thing to say, because law-abiding people don't just suddenly snap because they got a gun. Carrying a gun concealed into a store does not mean that if you're susceptible to the voices when you're carrying a gun concealed, you're just as susceptible. Or, excuse me, when you're carrying a gun in the open, you're just as susceptible to it if you're carrying concealed. So, yeah, that was a stupid statement to make. Now, as we know, those with murderous intent don't care if they're violating a store policy, because they're already willing to violate the state and federal prohibition on murdering innocent people. The announcements from Kroger and Walmart came in the wake of a series of mass shootings in the country over the last month, one of which happened in Odessa, Texas. King Supers, in their statement, said it's joining those encouraging our elected leaders to pass laws that will strengthen background checks and remove weapons from those who have been found to pose a risk for violence. So, in other words, they were lobbying Congress here to restrict our gun rights and ask those who open and carry to stay the hell away. For all the good it did. Now, Ahmad Aliwi, Alisa, probably didn't even know that happened. And if he did know it happened, he obviously didn't care. Taking a stance like this, and this is what it is, it's a stance, it's a public relations stance. it's not even a physical thing like the wind, like, you know, putting a sign in a window. They don't actually make anybody safer. In the name of fairness, it should be noted that there's absolutely no evidence that this stance or the statement had any bearing on this rampage killing. You would assume that under those circumstances, the King Superstores would be off-limits to concealed carry as well, but I don't know if that's actually the case, and I'm not going to say it is. Even if concealed carry was still allowed in the store, we're talking about Boulder, Colorado. Now, if you've never been, it's known by many in the state as the People's Republic of Boulder. If it leaned any further to the left, it would be horizontal. And it's unlikely many people in the store would have carried regardless. But I can't help but wonder how many who might have been in a position to stop this attack opted to go to other stores instead, and as such weren't there to help. And there's other factors, so many factors that play into such things, that it is impossible to know one way or another. And what we do see and see quite clearly is that those who wish to harm law-abiding citizens aren't going to be kept away from a sign or some stern words. If they intend on slaughtering the innocent, then there's not a damn thing that's going to prevent them except a good guy with a gun willing to prevent the loss of life. End of story. Sad but true. I was a little disappointed, and I'm segueing here. I'm looking for the next right-wing populist to run for president. I'm not going to call him a conservative, because I think the conservative movement has been sort of conscripted like the Tea Party movement was. Trump was a right-wing populist. Rush Limbaugh, may he rest in peace, he was converting to being a right-wing populist. He understood the shortcoming of conservatism as it was being practiced. I had a lot of hopes for this emerging group of stars after CPAC. But then, right now, there's probably somebody laughing her collective fourth point of contact off. And it's my former governor, Nikki Haley. And she's laughing because Kristi Noem may have derailed her own electoral freight train as it rolled down the conservative governor tracks toward the GOP nomination in 2024. Now, Haley is a total non-starter, but she doesn't realize this. Her astonishingly weak submission to the forces that hate us, she didn't go to CPAC, for example, because she would have been booed to CPAC, and that would have been a bad optic, you know, has totally killed her dreams, although the GOP establishment has this fantasy that she can cruise into the White House by pretending to be hardcore when she's just Jeb exclamation point in a skirt. Noem has, or perhaps had, a future as a conservative's conservative, and her utterly insane unforced error last week has hugely damaged her prospects. See, the reason everybody liked Trump was Trump said, I'm going to do this, and then he went and did it. Noem went out there and said she was going to do something, and then she got the bill in front of her to sign, and she vetoed it. She vetoed a bill defending women athletes from the insanity of letting men dominate them, and then gave this weak sauce weasel word explanation. Her tweet thread tried to explain it, you know, and that was lame. Her appearance on Tucker Carlson was condescending gibberish. This was an easy thing to fix. We don't know who advised her to go do this. This is the thing. See, Trump had advisors, but Trump would look at what the advisors had to say. And he would say, okay, this is advice given to the president. I'm the president. Right? These are not guidelines. These are not rules. This is advice. And then he would get out there and package it his way. When Nikki Haley was governor here, her chief of staff was busy every day calling a political consultant in Virginia. And, trying to find out how to look national, how to look good. She wasn't really interested in governing the state. She didn't really do anything while she governed the state. She is a female of Indian descent. She She rode the Tea Party wave. The Tea Party people picked a bunch of people in a lot of cases that were not necessarily exactly what they thought they were getting. I was right there at the forefront of all of this when it was happening. I watched it happen in real time. It's interesting how amateurish we're seeing these guys when they do make a slip up. Greg Abbott, the governor of Texas, who a lot of people look to him, you know, he recently decided to label all of Gab, the application, all of the Gab users anti-Semites, and we don't even know why he decided to do that. It's one of those things that ticks off the base while the left continues to hate you. It's good to go ahead and disqualify the weak hearts now while we can. I really would like to know which consultant told Noam this was a good idea. It's 2021 and there's a lot of Republican consultants who still think the base is dumb. And the base is not dumb. The base is the base. And we're not going to be fooled with painful tweet threads and interviews about how 2 plus 2 equals 5. And how we need to not fight because it might make our enemies angry with us or cost us something to make a stand. And Noam decided that instead of holding strong on an issue that conservatives care about, she would not merely roll over to the Tech Chamber of Commerce lib axis, but also attempt to talk us into thinking this was just a routine administrative decision and that she's totally behind us 100%. Except, Governor, we're not stupid. We're woke. You shouldn't ever try to pull something over on people that you're trying to win over. We've already been shafted too many times. Back again next week. Keep your eyes open. Stay awake. This has been Gun Owners News Hour. At Spike Tactical, we are all shooters with a very simple mission. Make the best product we can perfect at the best possible price for our consumers. We strive to produce the best components and rifles available, with quality control second to none, because real-world events don't allow for a second chance. Whether you are an operator, competitor, or home defender, Spike's Tactical will serve you well. Go to SpikesTactical.com. Spike's Tactical, 100% American-made to the highest standard. At Chambers Custom, we have one job. We strive to build the most obsessively reliable, accurate, and beautiful pistols for the discriminating gun owner. Fusing the ageless 1911 design with a 21st century approach to each part and component, Chambers Custom meticulously begins each pistol as a standalone project, creating a bespoke, handcrafted, peerless firearm. They integrate all of the internal, external, and intrinsic elements that make a custom 1911 unique. Go to ChambersCustom.com. Chambers Custom, truly the mechanical advantage.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while, we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track, not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.